Alright, you close the door?
Want to?
Sure.
Alright. What sports you playing in high school, man?
Golf.
Golf, that was it.
It's my senior year.
Where'd you grow up? Illinois?
Waukegan, Illinois.
Okay, all, that was for whole life.
Yeah. So I went to school.
What were you dreaming of? What did you dream of? What was your dream growing up to be?
Jeez.
Have a dream?
Not really. I knew I was good at wood shop in school, high school, so I wanted to be a carpenter.
Do you regret not being a journalist still?
No.
Is that something you wanted to pursue?
Well, I guess I was always a stat buff. I mean, I watched Chicago Bulls games, grew up watching them on TV and listening to them on the radio and keep stats.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep stats, shooting percentage, and I'd kind of check my stats with what the papers had, you know.
Right.
And I kept stats for our high school basketball teams since from my freshman year till my junior year. And after the games, you know, I would always give the information to the writer from the local paper. You know, Waukegan's a big city, about 75,000.
Right.
And the paper had about a 45,000 circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So one day after a game, the sports writer that I'd been working with most of all, Dan Manoian, came up and said, you know, hey, would you be interested in working at our paper? He said, we need people to answer the phones, you know, do high school games at night. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I had no interest in writing and didn't know much about writing. And I said, I'll think about it. And so he called me up a couple days later and asked for them. So I said, sure. So he said, well, come on down, meet the editor and sports editor and find out, you know, what the job entails and what I'd be doing and how many hours I'd be needed to work. So he sat down and started telling me, you know, this is the format and just answer the phone, take box scores over the phone and stuff like that and maybe write a paragraph on each game. So I said, that sounds easy enough. And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, how much money? He goes, well, it's not much. It's only about $7.38 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I mean, 1978, that's pretty good money.
Yeah.
I said, shoot, sign me up.
Yeah.
So I slowly learned, I guess, gradually learned how to write. And then, actually, by the time the season ended, I was writing stories about our high school team in the local paper. I was writing about the kids I'd grown up with, and,
yeah.
you know, and going to class with. You know, I was writing newspaper articles about them in the paper, so that seemed like kind of fun. And then I was the editor of our high school paper my senior year, and then I decided to play golf.
What was your fondest memory?
High school?
In your journalistic career.
Oh, jeez.
Of some funny moment or just some... I mean, sport, it's a wacky
anecdote.
Yeah. Kind of wacky business. I mean, you see weird things go by.
Sure. Yeah, one of them probably was interviewing Wayne Gretzky one-on-one. Back when I was in high school. That's when he first came up and was setting all kinds of scoring records. And, I'd go down and cover the Blackhawk games and Bulls games for our paper. And Bears, and I just happened to call the PR guy of the Oilers and got a one-on-one interview with Gretzky before the game, and that was quite a treat.
Wow. Anybody else? Any big names?
Oh, Walter Payton and, you know...
Jordan?
Nah.
No?
After I left. You know, I left there in 82, so
okay, yeah.
This was all before then.
Okay.
But I remember we go down and just get the Waukegan News Sun was the name of the paper, so we'd get a company car and drive down to the stadium, and I used to bring buddies of mine, you know, to the games once in a while. And one time a buddy of mine brought a camera with him and just sat in the floor and took pictures, you know, with the press pass and all, and the idiot wasn't got a hot dog and a Coke and hell sat that right down the basket support and eating a hot dog during the game. and the PR guy with Bulls gave my editor a call and kind of chewed me out for letting them do that.
I just
say. That was wild.
Bust
them. How long did you work with the Big 8 as the assistant in the
2 years.
Office? 2 years.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
Quite different, you know. After I got done with school in 84, I got married and you know, my girlfriend and I decided to get married, and she had a good job in Lawrence, so I figured I better, you know, try to stay in the Kansas City area. I didn't know what I was going to do. A few newspaper offers to go write,
uh-huh.
and so all of them were out of the area, so I decided, you know, she's making money, I better start writing some people. So I called the Royals, I wrote the Royals and the Chiefs and the Big 8,
yeah.
hoping they had something open. I guess first of May or so before I graduated, the Big 8 called one to interview me for, they had just started an internship program. So I got involved with them, and that was interesting. I mean,
for all the people who go to Missouri, KU, K-State, I mean, they're really dedicated to their schools and live and die by them. What I learned at the Big 8 is you can appreciate other people's schools, too. So I don't know why these people are calling up radio stations saying, you know, Missouri stinks and they deserve to lose. And I mean, I learned to appreciate the
silly fans.
Yeah, exactly. They're fanatics is what they are.
Yeah.
I just learned to appreciate other people's programs more.
What's the most enjoyable part of being associated with UMKC for you?
Probably the growing process of the program, starting from zero, starting from scratch and seeing what it is now. We started on an old house at Rock Hill Road, old rickety thing, and we got to move in here, and you know, even now our space is gradually beginning to increase. Seeing sports like track and field take off like it has, and soccer now, I mean, it's a big treat to see all that happen. And hoping that I have a little something to do with it, I don't know. I mean,
so,
I don't know if I have or not, but...
You've been here 6 years now. What
seven.
Seven. This is your seventh year. I'm sorry.
Since 87.
Since 87.
July of 87, so.
Okay, well, that media guy was kind of
shaky.
Yeah, shaky.
In 7 years?
Uh-huh.
Us.
You think so? Yeah.
Stephen St. John. But one of the things is seeing us play Kansas in the Golden Harvest Classic a couple of years ago. I mean, we got invited to play in that thing and you know, hoping that we can win the first game and just to get a chance to play a team like Kansas, you know, the place where I went to school and one of the top four basketball programs in America, is to be on the same floor with them was a little something. I mean, gave me chills thinking that we were going to play those guys. I mean, the outcome wasn't great, but the fact that we got on the same floor with those guys.
Yeah.
We come a long way, I mean, from playing Prairie View A&M and those kind of schools to playing KU. You think if I could think of another. I was also a golf coach, you know, for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What years?
89, 90, 91.
Men's basketball program?
Golf.
I know. The men's golf?
Girls.
The women's golf.
I think another proud thing is the fact that I went out and recruited 5 high school seniors to come in and play for us. You know, all of them from different parts of the country, one from Texas, 2 from Oklahoma, 1 from Kansas, and 1 from Indiana. And the fact that all, you know, 4 of the 5 are still here.
Still
with
it, yeah.
And all of them are on the dean's list. I mean, just it's proud to see that they've stayed with it and gone on to become good student athletes.
So you've gone from journalist to a sports information director, now to an assistant athletic director. Is this the path you envisioned, or is this?
Not really. Once I got into public relations at the Big 8, I kind of wanted to stay with that because I like working with the media. You know, I like numbers.
Right.
And you know, I think I'm a good people person, but a lot of those traits are also necessary in as an assistant AD. I mean, the responsibility is tremendous. I mean, I appreciate Coach Hunt giving me the opportunity. You know, I think I worked hard as the SID, and then I don't know if I earned the spot or not, but
natural progression of things.
I guess so. I mean, Coach Hunt likes people who are loyal to him, and he tries to take care of them. And he never promised me this job, but he said he'd work hard to see that if it was open, that he'd see that I had an interview anyway.
Who was it before you?
Dr. Floyd Walker. He retired. Yeah, I learned a great deal from him. He was an athletic director at Central Missouri State for 17 years.
He retired back in 91, didn't he?
Probably 92. Was it 92?
Yeah, it was the beginning of 92, I believe.
May of 92.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. My time there.
Yeah.
What makes your job the easiest / hardest here at UMKC?
Easiest is probably working with Debbie and Heather. Our business manager, Debbie Colburn, and Heather.
Mm-hmm. I heard nothing but good stuff about them.
Oh, they're awesome. Both of them. I mean, they're professional, and they do things the right way. They treat people correctly, and they cover up any mistake I make. I mean, there are times that, yeah, I don't know how to do things, and they're there to help me out,
right.
Which I appreciate. Hardest thing is, No, not giving every coach what they want. I think every coach sees the needs of their program, and whether it be lack of funds or lack of personnel, we just can't do everything that they ask. And hopefully that they understand. That's the right way of saying no.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
What are some career goals you have, Ed, beyond this position here?
I'd like to think that maybe someday I can become an athletic director of a school. You know, I guess the most logical step from here would be to go to a bigger school, perhaps as a football program, too.
So, no more
coaching?
No.
So how long do you see yourself here at UMKC?
I don't know, as long as Coach Hunt will put up with me, I guess. I oftentimes talk to my wife out loud, you know, what are we going to do and in the future? And, you know, we bought a house, and you know, I'd like to make Kansas City our home.
Right.
And you try to be good to the people who helped you in the past, and hopefully that'll, you know, as those people progress on to bigger and better things, that they might look back and say, hey, maybe I could hire him as my assistant down the road.
I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about some interdepartment things. Kind of from the outside looking in, the university's, you know, perception of the athletic department and, you know, students and faculty and stuff, how does that affect the way you guys do anything?
I don't know. What is their perception?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you have the bad things and you have the good things. And you know, some people are very supportive of the athletic department. Some people are, always got the big waste of money, people that mm-hmm. think that. But university, from the outside looking in, the way they deal with you guys and everyday one-to-one things, you know, Dr. Widmar and
mm-hmm.
everybody that you guys have to deal with all the time, how's that relationship?
I think it's pretty, I think we've getting a lot of support from the administration. One thing I think this program, or I guess the school wanted, or the city wanted, and the school agreed to do to start this program would be to give it some recognition in the community, and I think athletics does that to any school. Matter of fact, Kirk Wren, who's helping me as kind of an intern here, he did some research over my library, and he found out that something that there's two major factors why people pick schools. One of them is their athletic academic program, and the athletic program is the number one identity of every school. So I think what this has done, this program has done, is given this school a lot of positive, I guess, identity in the community. It's incredible. I mean, matter of fact, you know, when I came for this, when I applied for this SID job, the day of my interview, I asked where it was.
Uh-huh.
And I had been here in Kansas City for 4 years. I had to find out where it was. I had no idea. I knew they were going to Division I, but I had no idea where it was located in the city.
Right. But good support, everybody in the front office. All the head people, everybody is very supportive.
As much as I can see, yes, they're very supportive. I mean, they're not letting loose to say, no, you cannot have this. They try to work a way into it, work a way to find a happy medium, most. You know, one of the things that perhaps the athletic department lacked when the Missouri Valley was looking at us was our support and our success in our minor sports, such as tennis and softball, volleyball, soccer. And I think the administration is going to make every effort to see that these programs get upgraded. Right now we have a good start going in soccer, where we're going to have a booster club started by parents that are going to try to raise funds to help that program along. And you know, hopefully in the future every sport will have its own booster club. This can be kind of some tickets, charging for games.
Yeah.
Got to use credentials to get in. If you don't have them, you don't get in.
Okay.
That's a warning.
Yeah. The first women's game.
And the big fella can't lean on the goalpost when he takes pictures. And
next Sunday, he's been here for life.
Is he the Jimbo of photography?
Yeah. Exactly. How did your experience as a sports editor and intern and stringer prepare you for this position? Yeah. Any prep work for you?
Just probably dealing with people, seeing people in every light. I mean, when you're a sports writer, you see teams after they win, you see teams after they lose, and you almost learn what to say and what not to say in those situations. Because like here, I'm dealing with I'm a kind of liaison between Coach Hunt and the other sports. Now all these other sports are saying, I want this, I want that, and he's saying, don't give them anything, and I've got to pacify both. difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Don't give him anything.
Hmm?
A little bit.
Sure. I'm trying to give him something.
Yeah. You're never going to please everybody, though.
You're right.
Yeah.
But you look at the Big Eight has given me an opportunity to meet some pretty powerful people in athletics.
Right.
So when I go to the NCAA convention, I've seen people that I've dealt with all these years who are ADs and presidents at different schools, and it kind of makes me feel good that I can go out down the hallway and say hello, and they know who I am.
Through all your experiences with coaches and athletes and everything, what's been the most memorable or funny out of everything? Just the whole ball of wax. Or is there anything that sticks out?
Here or anywhere?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Big Eight, with the cans and paper, anywhere.
Jeez. I learned a valuable lesson, when I was summer sports editor at the Kansan at school. You know, Larry Brown became the head coach there at KU, and he fired JoJo White.
Mm-hmm.
When he first, I guess a couple months after he got hired, and so I knew JoJo over the years, knew where he was, so I stopped by his house. And he was in there, and I asked him why he got fired. He said, I don't know. He started telling me, I don't know why, but I've done this, I've done everything Coach Brown asked. And so I wrote about it. Coach Brown happened to be out of the country at the time. He was unavailable for comment. So when Coach Brown came in, he sat me down at his office and explained to me why he fired JoJo White and how irresponsible I was writing that story without his opinion.
Oof.
So I learned a valuable lesson that way. So there's two sides to everything.
So did this feud between Manning and Brown just surprise you at all when he was in LA?
I don't even know if they had a feud. I don't know.
Well, he got tired of the attitude that Brown had, that he was still his kid in a college sense term. I don't know if you heard of that. I mean, unless it was just the drama built up by the media, but apparently, I mean, I've heard comments even up to this day that he really resented everything Larry Brown tried to shove down his throat. I mean, he still wanted to be his teacher where, it was a business more, I guess, when they got in the throat. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, he's been, ever since that day, we've had a clear understanding where each other stood and that he came to my wedding, so.
Right.
I mean, he's still a cool guy. Here's an interesting story. You know, the night after they won the championship of the NCAA in 88, he was in a limousine driving around Kansas City all night talking to people from UCLA.
Wow.
People weren't aware of actually they did cut a deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they came the next day at KU and said, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, that's right.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And he eventually did leave a couple weeks later.
Was it a couple weeks?
Yeah. Went to San Antonio.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And then he went to, is he in Indiana now?
Yeah, went to Clippers, then Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
He gets around.
Yeah.
I always liked him, but apparently he didn't do things above board in a lot of areas. Girlfriends and whatnot.
In the what now?
Girlfriends and whatnot.
In your second year as the associate AD now, you were 4 years with the SIA. What do you do every year to improve yourself? Is there something to try to strive for every year, like a coach would or something, or is it just...
You try to set goals every year, and one of the goals this year was to get into a conference. And we've worked awfully hard to do that. Coach Hunter worked since day one on it. And I just try to take as much of a load as I can off of him. I mean, when he hired me, I was real raw in this position, and I had to ask him for a lot of guidance, and he's been able to give me the time. But now I'm trying to maybe break away from his purse string, so to speak, and try to make decisions on my own, and hopefully they're the right ones.
Down.
Our intercom system around here.
Yeah. Any regrets for being at UKC this long?
Not at all. It's been tremendous. I don't know what the perception is out there, the people at Kansas or whatever, about what they think about UMKC, but I think it's a school that's on the rise. I mean, the academic institution is tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
And the education these kids are getting is great. I mean, sure, the athletic department's not great yet, but I think we're trying, and we'll get there someday.
That's one thing that I noticed that people give us a bad rap. If our sports program isn't up to par, they think that the institution's not right. But, I mean, we have one of the best schools in Missouri.
And it's a community campus, and people,
Sure.
They're not bad.
There's no on-campus life. I mean, poor guys out there in a teeter-totter. There's 4,000 on there now. I mean, if you're at somewhere like KU or MU, I mean, you have thousands of people streaming out there and jumping on there, probably breaking the damn thing by now.
Drinking and throwing bottles at this window.
Arthur's up at 4 on there.
He's up at 4?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Oh, God. Hope he sits in the middle.
Big bag of peanuts in his hand. That's all I have. Unless you got something I'm doing. That's it.
I'm just an observer.
All right, Ed.
Well, appreciate it.